Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Meseches Becheiros Daf Ches. We begin at the Mishnah, which is on Zion on the base, 15 lines from the bottom. Says the Mishnah, Dog Tame, a non-kosher fish. Shabala, who was seen swallowing a dog tire, a kosher fish. And then, after he opened up the non-kosher fish, he discovered that same looking fish inside. Mutar ba'achila. You can eat it. Because it wasn't generated by the, an offspring of the non-kosher. It was imported from the outside. In which case, it remains kosher. And vice versa. Vitar, or a kosher fish, shabalag dog tame, who was seen swallowing a non-kosher fish, also ba'achila. So that creature found inside the kosher fish later on may not be eaten, because it's not the offspring of the kosher. It was imported from the outside. It remains non-kosher. Lafisha eino gidulei. It wasn't developed by the mother fish. Rather, it was imported from the outside and retains its status. Ask the Gemara, Taima de Chazine de Bola. When do we say non-kosher fish swallows the kosher fish, that kosher fish found inside is considered kosher? Because you noticed it being swallowed. You saw the import happening. Haloich de Chazine de Bola. Suppose you have not witnessed this importation. You haven't seen the fish swallowing the other. And you simply open the fish and find this kosher looking fish inside. Can you eat it? It sounds from the Mishnah that you cannot eat it. Amri, because we have to speculate that in fact Ashritz, that the dog tame manufactured this kosher looking fish. In which case, it is considered not kosher, despite its kosher appearance, because, as we learned the other day, hayoytzei min atamei tamei, something which is produced by a tamei source, is considered tamei. Says the Gemara, minolam, why would you say that? I mean, after all, it looks like it's a kosher fish. Shouldn't we assume, even without seeing, shouldn't it be assumed that it came in from the outside? The answer is like this. Because dog tamei mashritz, dog tohir matal beitzim. There's a fundamental difference in the way kosher and non-kosher fish develop their offspring. A dog tamei is mashritz. He develops his offspring within himself. He gives birth to live fish, as opposed to a dog tohir, a kosher fish. Matal beitzim, he lays eggs on which he sits and warms, and they eventually hatch into fish. Okay, so since you discover this fish inside the non-kosher fish, let's assume that it was self-developed, the way non-kosher fish develop their offspring, which are formed inside the mother fish. Unless you've seen it being swallowed inside. Then it changes. Why? Yuch, if that's the case, if you assume that it was produced within the non-kosher fish, and it's a non-kosher offspring, kechasina debal, even if we saw it swallowing the kosher fish, who says it's the same one? Amrinan, we should still be concerned with a possibility that hayi aklo. Yeah, the kosher fish that he imported was digested. And it's gone. Vahai. And this one that you found today, Ashrutze Ashrutz, was developed by a non-kosher fish. It's a non-kosher offspring. I'm not Sheshes. So we have several answers to this question. Kondor of Sheshes was speaking Kunshamotso, Derech Beisarei. He found this fish here in the digestive system where he expels his waste, which makes it clear that it wasn't developed by this mother of fish. Otherwise, it would be in the other side. It wouldn't be. Together with the other food, apparently it was imported from the outside. Another pshat, he found it in the where it swallows the food. which proves that it came from the outside. Rav Nachman Amar Kan Shemotzei Shalem, who's speaking that he found this fish intact, whole, intact, fully developed. In which case, it confirms that it was not developed by this non-kosher fish. Otherwise, it would have birthed it already. It wouldn't stay inside so long. So apparently, it came in from the outside. Rav Rashi Omar, he says, you know what? When the Mishnah says, I saw the fish being swallowed, it doesn't mean literally. You actually have to see it. It's an assumption. Rav Rashi Omar, Roib Dagim Beminon Mashritzin. He says, most fish, their offspring resemble themselves, right? Beminon Mashritzin. And now that you find this fish, which is dissimilar in look to the mother fish, to the greater fish, that leads us to assume that it was swallowed from the outside. It's as though we've seen it being swallowed. So the Lashon of the Mishnah isn't literal, we saw it. It's a strong assumption, which you can rely on. Okay, so the question was, why do we assume that it's a kosher fish inside the non-kosher? Maybe it's just a baby of this fish. So we have one shot that he found it in the waste area. One is that found it where it swallows its food. Quoted Rav Nachman. Even if he didn't have a specific location to use to identify the, let's say it was cut up, the mother fish, you don't know where. But since you find this little fish inside, fully formed and developed, which sounds like he was already outside swimming, in the case that it was swallowed from the outside, Rashi says, chances are it came in from the outside because of his dissimilarity to the big fish. Turn it up on him. Okay, on this topic of fish offspring, dog tame mashritz, dog toher matobetz. Like we said, the non-kosher fish gives birth to live fish, which he develops within himself, herself, whereas a dog toher lays eggs, which develop into fish. Kol hamayah, comes some more interesting rules and regulations which pertain to all kinds of creatures and animals. Kol hamoylet, any animal which gives birth alive, meinik, he also has the ability to nurse his offspring. V'kol hametol beitzim, however, one who lays eggs, malakit, he doesn't nurse them, rather he collects their food, their worms, their whatever, and he feeds them like that. Chutz mi'atalaf, there's one exception, which is the bat. Sha'av al-bishim metol beitzim, even though he's of the egg layers, meinik, he nurses his offspring. Return to the next page. Hadul fanen, these interesting creatures, which Rashi actually says is some sort of sea mammal, which I'll read the Rashi inside on the second line from the top. B'nei yama, dogim yesh b'yam. We have this interesting sea creatures, shechetz yintras adam. They look halfway like a human, shechetz yintras dog, and half like a fish. Ubalaz, sirina. And laz in old French was called sirina. So these interesting dolphin and parin v'rabim kivnei adam. They have a similar reproductive system to human beings. And in fact, Rashi says, if there is physical interaction between humans, and they can bear from each other. My dolphin, what are these interesting things? Amrav Yuda b'nei yama. Okay, furthermore says the Braisa, kol shebeitzim b'chutz, an animal whose male testicles are external, moilid, so that type of animal gives birth to live offspring, kol shebifnim. But if the beitzim on inside, matal beitzim, that type of creature lays eggs. Ainy, is that so? That one depends on the other? Vamar Shmuel. Shmuel tells us, avos, the domesticated duck, vavas bar, and the wild duck, are considered two separate types regarding the prohibition to crossbreed. Kalaim zebazet, considered two different types, and they're kalaim with each other. Vavinam, but the question was posed, my taima. Why are they considered separate entities? Aren't they one and the same species? Am I Rabbi? Yeah. The big difference. Ze beitzim bachutz. Ze beitzim bafnim. He has the beitzim outside, he has it inside. And that's why they're considered two separate types of animals. But the question is, v'tarvayim atilu beitzim. We know from observation that they both generate offspring by laying eggs, which eventually hatch. So even the one who's beitzim on the outside does that, which is contravenes our rule that we had, which is if the beitzim are outside, it gives birth live. Ella, rather, it's like this: kol shezachrusim b'chutz, the male organ, if it's outside, meilut, that species gives birth to live offspring. B'fnim, if it's on the inside, he has an internal system, etel beitzim, that species generates offspring by laying eggs. Continues the b'rais, kol shetashmisha b'yoyim, any creature who mates during daytime, yoyle b'yoyim, so they give birth by day. B'layla, a creature who mates exclusively by night, yoyle b'layla, they give birth at night as well. Kol shetashmisha b'yoyim b'malayla, one who mates day or night, okay, so he gives birth one or the other, yoyled bein bayoyim bein malayla. Examples of which are tashmisha bayoyim, an animal only mates by day, yoyled bayoyim gives birth by day, that's the tarnagel, that's the chicken. Balayla yoyed balayla, the one who mates at night gives birth only at night, who's that? That's the atalik, that's the bat. Which one has both? Tashmisha bein bayoyim bein malayla, one who mates day or night, yoyled bein bein malayla gives birth either way, that's Adam. Human beings, b'chadadamilei, and all the other animals who have that system. L'manach kibina, what's the objective, what's the point of knowing all these rules? There is an interesting halachic application to this. Look at the Rav Mori, Bray, to Rav Kahana, listen to this. We have a halacha, Mesechas Beitza. The Mishnah begins, right? Beitza shenolda b'yantav, an egg laid on Yontav, may not be eaten for many reasons. The Gemara says, well, it's Muktza, well, it's all kinds of reasons. So now, Domar Mori Brei Darf Kahana. Listen to this case. Batak Bekina Shatarnagoyla. Mer of Yontav. So this farmer checked his nest, his, you know, his chicken area, and he finds no eggs whatsoever. Okay, so Erev Yontav, he covered, he checked, he inspected, no eggs. Vele Matzah Babetza. And there's no egg there. Next morning, he gets up for Vesikin, L'mochar, next morning, which is Yom Tov, after a long Seder, he gets up quickly to daven early, Hishkim, he gets up right before daybreak, and guess what? An egg in the coop, U'matzah b'beitza. Shall we assume that it was laid throughout the night, in which case it's prohibited, because it's a beitza that was laid on Yom Tov? No, no issue. Materas b'achilu b'yom Tov, you can eat it. Have mashed eggs on Yom Tov, no problem. Why? Despite the fact that you checked yesterday, and there was no egg before Yom Tov, wouldn't that prove that it was laid throughout the night? No! Eggs, chickens don't lay eggs at night, as we said before. Eim alabadak yafa, we have to assume that he didn't check properly, so he missed it. But it was really laid before Yom Tov, in which case it's okay. What do you mean, alabadak yafa, he did check properly? Eimar, we can say, maybe it mostly emerged from the chicken and then it was sort of sucked back in. And that's considered late, halachically late. That's why he didn't see it, because it went back in. But since it was laid before Yom Tov, it's mutter. Ukhti Rabbi Eichon, as Rabbi Eichon teaches, Dama Rabbi Eichon, Beitza Shiyotza Ruba Merv Yom Tov Achazra, an egg was mostly laid and then it was sucked back into the animal, Mutteret Lechel B'Yom Tov, you can eat it on Yom Tov. Because halachically, we consider it laid Erev Yom Tov. So why would we say this? It's a pretty far-fetched suggestion, because we have an absolute rule. A chicken will only lay eggs during daytime. Okay, now the Braisa continued. Koil shatashmishtei viburei shav. Creatures whose form of mating is similar, face-to-face, etc. Viburi, or their period of gestation, of developing the offspring, is a similar time frame. So if creatures have that alike, have that commonality, koil shetashmishta viburi shava yod, so they can actually bear from each other, umugadlan, and they can nurse and they can raise each other's offspring, zemize. Speaking of which, hakoil mishamshin ponim keneged orif. Generally, creatures mate face to back. Chutz Mishlesha, except for three, Shemeshamsh and Panap Knei Panap, they made face to face. Who are these three? Veluhain, dog, a fish, Vadam and humans, Venachash and the snake. Why are these different? Umayish Nahanit, also why are these three unique? That they have relations face to face in a more dignified manner. Kiyosar Abdimi, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he says, Amri Marav and Eretz Yisrael, they used to say, what sets them apart? Because they had the honor and the privilege to converse directly with Hashem. Hoyel v'dibra imam shchina. We find that the shchina spoke to the fish to spit out Yoyin HaNavi, right? Likewise, Hashem addressed the snake way back when he made the, Chavasin. And a person, Hashem is always speaking to people. The Nevil, the Nevi'im, right? Tana, we learn in the Braisa. Gamal, a camel, however, achar keneged achar. By him, it's rear to rear. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so how long does it take for all these animals and creatures to develop? What is their gestation period? Okay, we'll go through the list one by one. Tana Rabbanan, Han Goylis. Le'eshrim ve'echad yom. It takes 21 days for that chick to develop from a chicken's egg. And interestingly, as we're going to see throughout the next piece of Gemara, there's a corresponding matching arrangement between the animals and creatures and the organic materials, trees, etc. Seems like an interesting parallel system. So we have, on the one hand, we have the chicken, 21 days, we'll connect the beetle in a corresponding arrangement amongst the trees. You have by the luz, certain kind of nut, which takes 21 days to develop between the blossom and the actual finished product is 21 days. Kelev, how long for a dog to develop? Lachamish mirim, 50 days. We'll connect the bilantain. The matching tree is the fig tree, which takes 50 days for the fruit to ripen. Chosol, how long for a cat to develop? L'chamishim shnayim yom, 52 days. U'knek d'bilon tus. The opposite to that by the tree is a tus. Some say it's a strawberry. Chazir, what about a swine? L'shishim yom, 60 days. U'knek d'bilon tapuach. The apple also takes 60 days. Shul, chomene shuatzen. Fox and all kinds of other creatures. L'shisha chadashim takes them 6 months. U'knek d'bilon tvua. What's the corresponding item in the growing world? That's the in the plant world, that's the tvua, grain, which takes 6 months to wheat, takes 6 months to fully ripen. Behema daka dahira, a kosher-like animal, like a goat, a sheep, la chamish chadashim, it's a 5 month gestation period. Connected with ilon gefen, correspondingly, we have the vines, which takes that long. Behema gazo tmei, a heavy, unkosher animal, which takes 12 months. Connected with ilon dekel, and the palm tree also takes 12 months. Tahira, a heavy kosher animal. Tisha Chadashim, it's a 9 month period. Connect the wheel on Zayas, corresponding to the Zayas, the olive tree as well. Hazaev, a wolf, Vari, a lion, Vadoy, a bear, Vanumber, a leopard, Vabardlo, some say that's a cheetah, some say hyena, Vapil, a elephant, Vakoyev, a monkey, Vakipov, some sort of monkey variation. Lushalashanim takes them 3 years to develop. Connect Don Beilon, Bneshuach, Bneshuach is also some sort of fruit which takes 3 years to grow. Efa. So this interesting creature called the Efa, L'shivim Shana, takes him 7 years to get going. Okay, so once he hits 7 years old, then he can bear offspring. Ukenegda ve'ilon charev, and likewise the carob, it takes 70 years. Only a mature 7-year-old carob tree can start thinking about producing its own fruit. This carob tree, mishas and tiyazah, from when it's planted, ashas gma peroizah, until it produces its fruit, shivim shana, it takes 70 years, mei burai shalei shana. And it actually takes 3 years for the fruit itself to develop. So some learn it means on top of the 70, some learn it means within the 70. Okay, in any case, it's a long stretch. Nachash, how long for a snake to develop his offspring? L'sheva shalom, takes him 7 years. L'oisei rasha, l'metinu chavar, this wicked fellow, this snake, was the catalyst for the first sin. That's what we call him, a rasha. Oisei rasha, the outstanding wicked creature. as a standalone item, he has no friend in this matter. Lometinu chaver. Nobody matches up to the length of time that it takes for him. With a full 7-year endeavor. Some say muchsasim. There is a certain kind of tree which corresponds to the 7-year gestation period. Not only, how do we know that in fact the snakes take 7 years, an abnormally long amount of time? Some related to Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya, Shenamar, we have a pasuk where Hashem articulated the klal, the punishment, the curse to the Nachash after he made Adam and Chava sin. He says like this: Or ato, you should be cursed. Mikol behema, mikol chayes hasada. Worse than all the behema and all the chayes. The Gemara learns. This relates to bearing offspring as similar to what Hashem applied to Chava, that she's going to have a hard time having children, etc. So likewise, the retribution to the Nachash relates to that topic. He's going to have a real difficult, lengthy experience and birthing his offspring, more than all the behemah and all the chayah. Mekol behemah, mekol chayah sasad. So the question is, if he's going to be more difficult than the behemah, which we said is a 5-month gestation period, certainly he's automatically worse off than the chayah. The chayah is the shortest chayah is the chasul, the cat, which is only a 52-day period. And Rashi asks, well, maybe the pasuk just means to state that he's worse off than the longest chayah, which is a 3-year, you know, the lion, all that. Well, in that case, Rashi says the pasuk could have simply related to the chayah. He said, well, you're worse off than the chayah, and we know that he's longest than the longest chayah. The pasuk relates to behema as well. So apparently, the pasuk is saying the shortest. So the shortest amongst the behemas, 5 months, which is longer than the shortest chayah. So why make even mention of the chayah? Rather, the pasuk means like this. It's a whole arrangement. This is the formula that's being set forth. Just like the behema, which is which has a period 7 times longer than that cat. Which behemah are we talking about? We're talking about a chamar, a donkey, which is called a behemah. It's a behemah gas, it's a heavy behemah, which is non-kosher, but it's a behemah. And his gestation period is a full year, which is 7 times 52 days. Which gets you 365, right? Just about, right? So, it's 7 times over, the cat. Kach neskalel hu, mehem achas l'sheva. Likewise, the snake, his period is 7 times the behemoth's period, so it's 7 times 7. Starting point is the shortest chasul, which is 52 days. Multiply that by 7, gets you the year of the chamor. And times 7 is the 7-year gestation period of the snake, which gets you to 7 years. Says the Gemara, who says to go this way? Starting point is the chaya, multiply that by 7 to get you to the behema, multiply that by 7. Maybe starting point is the behema, and the chaya is 7 times the behema. Amen. Perhaps you can go the other way. Shemshon skalo chayim behema achlo sholish. Just like the chaya is 3 times longer than the behema. Mind you, which chaya are we talking about? Ari mechamar. The lion is 3 years. 3 times the chamar, which is only a year. So 1 turned into 3. Multiply that by 3, a total of 9 for the snake. So give him an extra 2 years. Likewise, he is going to experience a period which is three times longer than that chaya, so three times three, the avalitation shan, which gets you 9 years. We turn down days. The answer is miksiv mikol achaya mikol behema. Does the pasuk start with chaya and builds it up to behema, which would lead you to that formula? No, it's the opposite. The starting point is the behema. Mikol behema, that's the starting point. Mikol achaya ksiv. So if we would say mikol achaya mikol behema, would say, well, the chaya three times the behema, right? And then over to the nachash. It doesn't say that. Mikol behema mikol achaya ksiv. Which tells you it's the other way. That the behema is X times the chaya, and the nachash is X times the behema. Okay, so that's why we have that other formula, which is starting point is 52 days of the cat, multiply that by 7 to the chamor, which is a year, multiply that by 7 for the 7 year nachash gestation period. Says the Gemara, well, perhaps we can give him a shorter time. How? Perhaps we can say like this. Kishem shenaskalo behema chaya echad l'shalosh. Just like the behema has it three times as long as the chaya, echad l'shalosh. Mind you, which behema are you comparing to? Which chaya are you comparing to? Eis mechasol. Okay, starting point is the shortest chaya, which is 52 days, okay, as you're saying. But instead of jumping to the year-long chamar, stop at the A's. The A's is that goat which has a 5 month period, which is about three times 52 days. Okay, so it's just multiplied by three. Mind you, A's mechoso. Likewise, the snake has it three times the 5 month goat period, which is only 15 months. Right? Kach nskal hu mi behem achad l'shalosh. Tav l'chameser yarchi. Okay, so it's 52 times 3, 5 months, times that by 3, 15 months. So give him a 15 month period, rather than a 7 year period. Ibo yiseima. One way to answer is, mikol behem aksiv. Mikol behem. You gotta go to the longest behem, the worst. Which leads us to the chamar, which is a full year. Full seven times the 52-day chasol period. Yibayisem, another answer is, klalahu, after all, Torah is cursing. Hashem is giving him an einish. Klalash dialuve, give him the strongest, most severe punishment. The presumption is that he's going to get the longest period possible to formulate, which is 7 years. On this topic, Amalei Kesa, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. So the Roman Kesar, the ruler, turn to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. He says, I have a question. Nachash lekama mi'abar meilet. How long for the nachash to generate his offspring? Amar Lehi says, l'shev shnei. 7 years, as per the Gemara. Really? V'asavi de'be'atuna. There were these scholars called Save, the elders of the Be'atuna of Athens, who are known to be world-renowned scholars and philosophers, as we're going to see later on in the Gemara. So they actually made an experiment, so claims the Roman king, Arbino. They breeded snakes, and it took them merely 3 years to have offspring. And you say it's seven? Oh, says Rishu ben Chananya, Hanu mi'abri havu mi'kara. Arbashnin, those snakes had already been carrying for 4 years. They were most way through their cycle. And that's why it only took 3 years for the offspring to emerge. But really, it takes 7 years. Really, says the Roman, the fact is they were mating. Apparently, they weren't yet expectant, because an animal, once it's expectant, it doesn't mate. He says, no, just like humans, snakes also will mate despite being pregnant. So the Roman responded, how could you question their experiments? How can you doubt their validity? I mean, these Sabe de Beatuna, these Chachamim of Athens, are known to be world scholars. They wouldn't err in their experiments. If they're concluding as such, you have to rely on them. Anan, we the scholars of the Jewish nation, Chakim Minan Minay, we're wiser than them. Our Torah is on a much higher, deeper, profound level than the mere, you know, superficial, observational conclusions of the Sabei Atuna. Really, says the Roman? Yichakimas, if you're so smart, so zakinu. Go have a debate with them. Vaisininu li, and bring them over to me. They were very difficult to reach, those fellows. I'm going to see later in the Gemara, they were basically inaccessible, unapproachable, scary individuals. And he says, look, if you win them over, bring them over. So basically, what Negershim explains, what he meant to say is, go have a debate with them, go engage them in discussion, in matters of wisdom, and you should precondition it, that if you win them over, they'll be compelled to follow you back here, and that will prove that, in fact, you won them over. Amalei Rabbi Shimon Hanani says, okay, not a big deal, kamahavu. How many wise men are there in that area? He says, Shitin Gavri, they're comprised of a group of 60, it's a club of 60. Amalei says, okay, no problem. Avali Svinta, make for me a ship, Queen Elizabeth, a big ship, this Shitin Bati, which is comprised of 60 berths, 60 compartments, and each compartment has to have 60 couches, 60 seats. The whole base of each room is boshitim bistarkish, will have 60 armchairs. And this way I'll get them to come over to us. Avale, so the king complied, he provided the ship. Okay, now he embarked on this journey to try to find them. They were situated in some sort of secretive location, he had to go find them, and then engage them, and then somehow bring them over, pretty tall order. Kimat l'hasam. Okay, so when he arrived at their location, he didn't know exactly where to find them, but general location he had. And by the way, the upcoming sugya is very obscured. the wording seemed to be very cryptic. But the Mefarshim explained the Marsha. If you have some free time, there is a lot of Marsha in the back. There's Maharal and Chidush Agadis, there's the Vilna Gaon and his compilation called Pirush Lagama Agadis, that delve into the depth and the deeper meaning behind these obscure parables that they were engaged in. It seems like just idle, small, useless talk, but in reality, they represent very deep, profound, religious and philosophical concepts that they were debating. That was the purpose of this encounter. He's going to go engage them in discussion about the basic tenets of Yiddishkeit, of religion, of philosophy. And ultimately, as we're going to see later, he won them over and he got them to come back to the king. And so he kept his end of the deal. Amarle. Sorry, Skimat Lassam, he arrived at their general location. Now he had to go find where they live, where to find them. Alabet Havchos. Firstly, he walked into this butcher store. Okay, Ashkelav Gavra, the Kapash Chibasi, sees this butcher being busy, cutting up the animal there. Amalei. So Rishu, posing as a customer, says to him, okay, Reshach Lizbuni? Is the, your head for sale? Amalei says, yeah, and sure. Amalei says, become, how much. Is it? Amalei Palka, this is a half a dollar. Yavli, he gave him the half a dollar. So if Amalei, so then he turns to the butcher, he says, Ana Resha de Chivasa Amrilach. So he says, you think I'm here to buy the head of the animal? No. I said your head. And you sold me your head. Too late. Amalei Sir Bishua says to him, so the Zogir says actually that he gave him the head of the animal, right? So Bishua says, what do you mean, the head of the animal? I asked for your head. So the fellow was had. He's like, Amalei, he says, okay, you know what, deal. If you want me to let you go, Amalei, you boys, Dishpach, if you want me to let you go, Sgei, walk ahead of me, Achvili, and show me Pischa, the entranceway to Be'atuna, to the club of the Zikni Atuna, okay? So the fellow was scared for his life. He says, Amalei, he says, Mustafin, I'm afraid to do that. They called the Machvi, anybody who dares shows, who dares to go and divulge the entranceway, Katli, they kill him. I can't do that. Amalei says, okay, we'll make a code system. Durei, carry out on yourself, Kricha, the Kanya, bundle of reeds. Okay? So They'll just, you know, innocently walk along the road. When you get to that location where the entranceway is, Zakfa. Put it, you know, standing on the ground as if you're just, resting up for a minute. Come on, Kamisbach, as if you're just resting, catching your breath. And this way I'll know exactly where it is. Okay, so in fact he did that. And now Rishor discovered the entranceway. Azal, so he came there. Ashkach, he finds a whole group of armed guards. The Rabbanoi, these guards, Migavoy, at the inside of the entranceway, to ensure that nobody from inside comes out without permission, because they had a very secretive, exclusive club. They didn't want anybody to... to have any, illegal associations. Ud Rabbanoi and a group of armed guards Mibaroi on the outside, the exterior side of the entranceway, to ensure that nobody comes in from the outside without proper authorization. In fact, they had on the threshold, they sprinkled such powder which would discern any footprints coming either in or out. The Yichazu Kara Da'il, if they see any footprints heading in, which would indicate that the guards outside were not doing a good job, they would kill them out. Kat Lulabroi, they would kill the outside guards. The Nafka, if they noticed an imprint heading out from the inside, which would indicate that somebody escaped, Kat Lulabroi, they would kill the inner guards. So what did he do to gain access? Abchala Sandali, he reversed his sandal. So he stepped into the threshold, but with a reverse sandal, which would appear like somebody escaped from the inside. So now they kill the internal guards. He turned his sandal this way. That would indicate that somebody came in from the outside. They killed all the guards, the ones on the outside as well. Now, interesting, Rashi doesn't have two steps here. Rashi has that it was just one switch. Basically, he walked in with one sandal facing in, which would indicate somebody made it in, which would kill the outside guards, and one sandal he was wearing in reverse, which would indicate that somebody came from the inside out, in which case they would blame the inner guards. In any case, now it was all clear, all open. He had full access. Azal, so he went in there, and he encounters these exotic, scary individuals sitting in an interesting fashion. They were arranged like this. Ashkach, he finds Yinuke Malel, younger group were up on the second floor, up on top. The Savim Latachas and the older elders were on the bottom floor. The reason for this was to trip up any visitor, because, look, either way, it's a lose-lose proposition. If he's going to greet the elders, the fellows on top will say, hey, what do you mean? We're on top. We're more esteemed, and we should be the ones greeted first. Boom, kill you. If he greets the younger ones on top because of their position, well, the elders on bottom will say, what do you mean? Greet the elders first. Boom, kill you. So now you're stuck. So what do you do? Amar, he figured, if I'll greet the young ones first, katli lihani, the old ones will kill me, because they'll view it as an affront to their position. Savri anana definan, because they claim they're better, they're older, they're more, they're wiser, older and wiser. Danan kashifinan tvei, we're older, Derek, the younger ones, what do you greet them first? Amar, he says like this, shalom alechu, shalom aleichem, he greets them all as one, so he got past that minefield. Amrulay. Okay, so the Zikni Atuna turned to Rishu. He says, what are you doing here? My Vitech. He says, what's your profession? Amrulay, he says, I'm the Chacham of the Jews. Ano Chakim Yudaya Ano. And I came to study your wisdom. So he submitted himself to them to lower their guard. But Inu Lamigmar Chacham Seminech, I'd like to learn some Chacham from you. Okay. So they said, okay, you ready for a test? Yochi, if you're such a smart man, we're going to ask you some questions and see how you do. Amar Luz, Rabbi Shul responds to the Greek philosophers. He says, L'chayu, no problem. Agreed, but on one condition. Two-way deal. Izachisuli, if during the course of our debates you prevail over me, okay, so then you're the winner, and kol dabeyisu, anything you wish, you can do to me, avidubi. But on the other hand, if I win you over on the far chance that I emerge victorious, then I'm just asking you for one favor. Come have a meal with me out in the boat. Ichlu Gaboy, you'll eat together with me besvinta in my boat. Okay, sure, no problem. Here comes the first of 12 questions that they asked him. Now, as we mentioned, it sounds, trivial and perhaps even a bit comical. The things that they brought up, but as the Mefarshim point out, these represent really deep and fundamental philosophical, religious, issues that were being alluded to. So the first thing they asked them was like this: Amrli, how gavra? So you have a fellow who's looking for a shidduch, the azel. He goes out there, a boy itza, and he's seeking a certain woman, but Yavale and his family, her family wasn't willing to part with that woman. So it didn't work out. My chazile, what possesses him? I mean, why would he even consider going to a more prominent family to seek his match? If it didn't work out with the less prominent family, why would he even entertain attempting the more chashav family? Why would he think they would be willing to consider him as a son-in-law? My chazile, the azel hecha, to go where? The midlumine, where it's even higher than him, a higher, more prominent family. That was the question to Rabbi Yishua. Okay, good question. Shakal siksa. So before he actually responded verbally, he made a demonstration. He says like this. He took a siksa, like a nail of some sort. Dotza letatoi. He attempted to poke it into the wall on bottom, but there's no hole, and it didn't go. Loyal, it didn't go in. Liloy up, and when he tried again further up on the wall where there was a hole, it slid right in. Oh, Omar, so he says to them, that's a parable which will provide a solution to your answer. You never know. It's all about mazel. Okay, so that shidduch didn't work out. Doesn't mean this one won't. Don't take it personally. Don't take it as a knock to your self-confidence and value. Hi, Nami. So this fellow, Mr. Ramu Bas Mazle, the reason why he went further to look for another shidduch, even in a better family, because perhaps that one is his match. That one is his mazel. Okay, next question. Gavra de Oizev Vitarif. So I asked him like this. A fellow lent money, $1 million. And the borrower defaulted on the loan, didn't keep his word, didn't pay him back, and it required a whole torturous process of enforcing the judgment and collecting on the borrower. The oizef, so he lent the tar, and he had to go and collect. My chaza the hadar oizef, what possesses this lender to go and lend again? If he already got burnt the first time. Amar Lucy says, look, just because he got burnt once doesn't mean that you give up on being a nice person. Imagine a person goes out to the swamp, to the to the forest to cut off some, get some reeds. Katal kama tuna, so he cuts off the first bundle, the first load. Kama means the first tuna load. And he couldn't lift it; too heavy for him. So does he just leave it there and go home? No, hadar katal, continues on chopping more. And places them on the original bundle, and he keeps them piling up. Why? Until a truck comes by, it will help him out. Adis Rami Inish, until a person comes along, people, Madle, they'll carry it for him. So likewise, our lender, look, it didn't work out with the first person. You fail, you try again, right? Next question, Amrle. Amelon Mili Dibdiye. So this time they turned to him and says, give us some idle talk, some silliness. Amalusi says, yeah, Ava Hokad Nisa Dilita. Imagine there was this mule that gave birth. A mule doesn't give birth, right? Vava Tali Piska. And on the newborn, there was this this tag around its neck, Vikasa Bay, on which was said, the Masik Bebe Abba May Alpha Zuzi. That he has a claim on base Abba, on the they have a claim on on his parents' family, his father's family, 100,000 zuz. Amalei said the wise man turned to Rabbi Shua. What are you talking about? A mule gives birth? Since when does a mule give birth? A mule is meant to be barren. So he says, yeah, that's exactly what you asked for. You asked me for a silly talk, I gave it to you. Amalei, haini, mule devdoi. These are the words of falsehood that he asked me for. Milcha kisari. Next question. What about the salt, which spoils? How do you preserve? Salt is typically used as a preservative to preserve foods, prevent them from spoilage. What about salt that in itself is spoiled? How do you preserve salt? Milcha kisari. How do you salt the salt? Amalisi says, besilta de kudnisa. They use the embryonic sac of a mule. Umikasilta de kudanta. So they asked him, since when does a mule have it doesn't give birth? Umilcha misari, he says, well, since when does salt spoil? Nilon besa bavir da'alma. Please build us a house midair. Amar Hashem, so Rishua, utter the holy name of Hashem. Tlo ben rikila ar. He suspended himself between heaven and earth. Amalu, he turns to him, he says, okay, deliver the bricks. Up here, I'll build you a house. Asiklu, live nevetin, bring me the bricks and the cement, no problem. So just to get a sampling of, the behind the scenes, meanings of what's going on. So on the first question and answer, which was the fellow who was looking for a suitable marriage mate, and he failed on the first try, he went to the better family, why would he do that? So the Marshal explains that what they had in mind was to sort of challenge the status of our nation. Hashem initially went to the other nations to offer them the Torah, and they were unwilling to accept it. So Hashem proceeded to offer it to Klal Yisrael, and they did accept the offer. So apparently, Klal Yisrael is on a lower level than the rest of the nations. So to speak, what wasn't good enough for them was good enough for us. So that proves your inferiority. So said so claimed the Greek elders to Rabbi Shua ben Hanania. So he responded, no. He says, every nation has its own destiny, its own mission, its own mazel. It didn't work for you, but it worked for us because we are Hashem's sort of match. We're the closest to Hashem. So it's like the nail. It fit right in. It didn't fit with you, but it fit with us. Like a hand in a glove. Just the opposite. It shows how special, how unique we are. The other question regarding the guy lending and being burnt the first time, why would he loan again? The Maral on that explains what they meant to say was, look, we all know that Hashem provided you with everything, gave you miracles, he did everything, gave you Eretz Yisrael, and you evidently were found to be undeserving. You didn't adhere to the Torah, to the mitzvah. Hashem sent you off in exile. So it's like a fellow who lent money and wasn't paid back and had to go and repossess and So why would you think that Hashem will retake you as his nation if you fail to pay up, you defaulted on that loan, so to speak? Why would you think that Hashem will still stick with you? So he says, look, just like this fellow, he lent and he got burnt, but I'll try again. Likewise, Hashem will certainly come back after we already paid up our loan the hard way. Hashem will come back and show his grace to us again, knowing our true potential, our true value, which he appreciates eternally. Regarding the other question about they asked him to build up a house in the middle of the sky. So the Vilna Gaon, he says, their true intention, they were alluding to something which is a spiritual entity. It's above the earthliness of the earth. There's either earth, right, which is materialistic, or there's something spiritual. To go connect the two, which you're attempting to do, which Klal Yisrael in the Torah and the mitzvah are trying to elevate the mundane, make it spiritual. You can't do that. So he says he could, look, and he flew up midair to show that, look, we are made of different material than you. Our neshama, our essence is of different quality than you. We are spiritual, essentially, and therefore we have the ability to incorporate all the gashmias into the ruchnias and to elevate the mundane, to mekadish, the veil. That's our tafkid. The thing with the salt, they said, how do you preserve salt? And so the Vilna Gaon explains what they had in mind was that we find in the Torah Bris Melach, the covenant of salt, the eternal covenant to Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So they claim that it all dissipated. Look, the covenant, the relationship is dissipated. You've sinned, you've been exiled, that's it, it's over. And he said, no. He says, no. And he brought a mashal from the mule that gives birth. He says, Klal Yisrael, even if they weren't 100% behaving, but the fact is we still maintain that Messiah, we pass the Torah on to our kids. That's going to ensure our eternity, our nitzchias. Interesting, just to add a little twist, you know, it says, Vishinantim levanecha v'divarta bam. Right, so you teach your offspring, and then you shouldn't it be the other way around? First you have to learn, then you pass it on to your kids. You know, sometimes, you know, you're not up to learning, but you got to teach the kid, you have a seder, you have your responsibility to the next generation. And that comes back to help us, that will have to help the teacher, help the father, and ensure that he, in fact, stays committed to Torah, and stays immersed and connected to the Torah, and to Limud HaTorah. So that was his answer. He says, you know, the fact that we pass it on, that ensures that we ourselves stay committed to the Torah. It gives us the schus that, in fact, Hashem will refresh our relationship. Okay, just a little glimpse, behind the scenes glimpse of what was going on here between the Ziknei Atuna and Rav Shimon Hananya. Okay, next point that was raised was like this. We'd like to know the midpoint of the world, exactly where it is. Mitziyasa de Almahecha. Zakwa Letzbos Asais. He picked up his finger. Amalu says, Hocha, right here. So they go, well, who says? I su Ashli Mishchu. He says, okay, want me to prove it? Bring along, get some really long ropes, and I'll measure it up for you. And of course, they couldn't do that. Islam Bira Vidavra. Next, we have this this well out in the field. Idol Basa, can you bring it into town? Amrli says, sure. Just get me some real strong ropes. Avshulili. Braid for me, produce for me. Chavli. Ropes, mipare, made from chaff, from waste of you know, grain waste. By leaving, I'll bring in the thing with those ropes, and obviously they couldn't do that, so he was off the hook. Islam rechayet the sphere. Next, we have this broken millstone. Chayte, can you sew it up for us? Omar says, sure. Just give me the right threads. Kruchali minne, gardi, gardi has threads. Form the threads from the millstone itself. I'll use those threads to sew it up. And of course they couldn't do it. Mishra de sakine, a row of knives growing out of the ground. My kadli, how do you harvest knives with that are metal? What kind of tool do you use to harvest metal? Bekar de chamar, he says, sure, with a horn of a donkey. They, umika karna chamar, since when does a donkey have a horn? He, umika mishra de sakine, since when do knives grow out of the ground? Next, isolate Trey Bay. They present them with two chicken eggs. Amrlay, they go to him, Hai de Zagta Uchmas. Uchmas means black. Which one is of a black chicken? Vahayim, which one does Zagta Chibrzi? Comes out of a white one. Isolu Iu Trey Givinis. He presents them with two blocks of cheese. And he goes to them, Amr Luhu, Haidi Iza Uchmasi, Haidi Zi Chavrusi. Which one is of a black goat? Which one was produced by a white goat? Okay, so they were stumped, and he didn't have to answer either. Ritzusa Demes. Next question. You have a unsuccessful chick that dies within its eggshell. Where did the life exit from? It's totally closed up. Where did the ruach leave from? So he says, well, the same place that it came in. Wherever the spirit came in, that's how it left. Wherever the life force arrived, that's how it came out. Next question. Could you point out to us mana, some sort of utensil, which isn't worth as much as the damage that it causes? Its damage overrides its value. Do you know of such a thing? He says, sure. I see Budya. So he brought along a mat. Pashti opened it up. Couldn't make it through the door. It's too big for the door. Amalusi says, I assume Mori said, true. Bring some, get some shovel, some tools, and break open the door, widen the door. Oh, I know Mana, Shava Chavila. Here is an example of an item which is not worth the value of its damage. Okay, so once he's done and he won them over and all their questions, I see no. So now they had to keep their end of the deal. Brought them into the, invited them into the ship, one by one, to trick them. This way, when they walked and they saw 60 seats, they figured, okay, this is going to be for the whole club. Kolchad v'chad, every single one of them, kichaz yishitim b'starkim. They know it's a 60, armchairs. Omar, he says, oh, sure, I'm just one of 60 who are still coming. Kulu chavrei, all my friends, lahach, also going to be coming into this berth, and therefore they felt comfortable and they sat there without feeling what was coming to them. Amar lei, the sapuna, as soon as he got all 60 on board in 60 separate compartments, I guess he was afraid to seat them together, lest they, gang up on him. They were experts in sorcery as well, the Rav Shem said. So as soon as he got them in there, Amar lei sapuna calls out to the captain, let's go, Shri, undo the anchor, Svinasach, undo the ship, and get going. Balika asu. One more thing he did as they left, Shekal Afram Ephrai took some soil from their land and he brought it along with him on the journey. We turn to the next page. Kimati Lebevli. Next point, when they got to this place in the ocean where the water gets swallowed into the underground, Rashi says it's a place out there which seems like a dangerous place where the water just swallowed into the ground. So while they're passing that point, Malakhuza the Maya Mibibli. He filled up a pitcher, a container of this miraculous water, this swallowing water. Okay, so now he had the earth from their location, and he had this this unusual water. Also, when they arrived to Rome, they came to the Caesar. Okay, he says, look, I promised and I fulfilled the community by coming Caesar. So he set them up in front of the Caesar. So they're standing in front of him, and he notices that they're looking very humble and submissive. Chazinu davog ma'ani, like an ani, very submissive, which is uncharacteristic of these high-fluting individuals. Amar lei, hani lav ninu. So the case turns to be sure these aren't the people that we're looking for. These are totally different people. I'm not accustomed to seeing them in this humble manner. So what did he do to prove his case? Shakal mafrai v'shdali v'ayu. So he took from their own soil and he sprinkled it on them. And that rejuvenated their self-confidence. They felt at home, right? Home turf, home territory advantage. And suddenly, akshu, they became brazen. Labi malka in front of the king, and they spoke to him brazenly. Amar leis, now the king felt threatened. He felt insulted. He says to Rishu, Amar leis, call the boys, do whatever you want with them. Okay, so what do you do to get them out of the way, to solve this problem for all time? I sinu maya the icy mibli. So you got that water, brought in that water that he brought from that place in the ocean. Shadinu betigda. So he poured it into some barrel. Amalu, and he turned to these wise men. He says, fill it up. Mal yu aluhu, vezilu, just fill up this pool, this barrel. Fill it up with water, and you'll fill it up, and you'll leave, and you're free to go. So they filled and they poured it in over and over again, and it wasn't filling. You know why? Because kamay kamay, as they were pouring in, that water gets swallowed into the other water. Balahu. So water that kamay kamay, that the first water, as it was being poured in, disappeared into the other water, and it was an endless proposition. which got them so worn out, and they just disappeared. Malu, they kept on filling out the shomet ketfayim until their shoulders snapped off. Bolu v'ozol, they just disintegrated and disappeared. Bolu v'ochol avadoin, that was the end of them. Okay, interesting. Very fascinating. So we have the Mishnah back on the Zayin base. Let's just recap. We have the Doktame, which was discovered to have a doctor within. It's considered Torah. We have got many reasons in the Gemara in terms of positioning, in terms of assumptions. We had an interesting printout of all different types of behavioral time frames regarding gestation period. We spoke about the forms of mating. We talked about the childbearing methods of the doctame, the doctor, of the all different types of animals. Spoke about the kol teranachash, the 7-year development period there. We spoke about, that's how we got into the whole story with the Zikni Atuna, because it was started by the Kesar. I was curious about the period, the 7-year of the Nachash, and he contradicted it from the experiment of the Zikni Atuna, to which Rabbi Shua derisively responded by saying, these people don't know what they're doing, and it's just, and then he sent them off to have it out with them, which he did, and ultimately he prevailed. Ken Yegdu, Kol Avecha Hashem, Psuras Teves, Hatzlacha.